Good evening. You're listening to KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio out of Round Mountain and Bella Vista. And this is Jim Dowling, host of Write Stuff, a show I bring in writers and people with interesting stories. And I would like to add that the views and opinions expressed on Write Stuff are those of the speakers and don't necessarily reflect the views or positions of KKRN or its management. So anyway, let's get on with our show. Today I've got Kent Bodensteiner here, or Bodensteiner, and I know Kent from coming into the studio. He's done some voice work for us on Scratched Up Radio Theater, where we do radio plays. A while back, I asked Kent, hey, could you fill in on this certain date? And he replied, well, no, I think I'm going to be in Peru dealing with indigenous people. And I think I stopped him right about there and said, I think we have a radio show. So Kent Bodensteiner, am I saying it right?
Usually pronounced Bodensteiner, but both are.
Well, anyway, thank you for coming in. And let's talk about... going down to South America, and what do you do down there, and what's that all about? What's the draw?
Well, I would say, you know, personal growth, reflection, healing, travel, you know, are what it's about. I would say the personal reflection element would be the biggest draw. You know, it's just kind of the mode that I've taken for healing and, you know, taking care of things inside the heart and mind.
Sure, sure. You know. Okay, let's cut to the chase then. I'm hearing a lot about ayahuasca, and that's a plant-based substance used by indigenous tribes down there for thousands of years. We'll call it a spiritual awakening. And you've been involved in that?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting. I just heard someone refer to it as a tea, and that's essentially what it is. It's a tea. You know, the active component is DMT. And, you know, I guess that's found in a lot of different things around here. And I've heard of even, like, tattoo artists and stuff will smoke it, and it's only like a 15-minute ordeal. But, you know, throughout history, I mean, we don't really know how, you know, it's been lost to history how we've learned how to cook things and what's poisonous and what's not. Mm-hmm. And somewhere along the line, they figured out that if they combine this ayahuasca vine with, I think it's chacruna. The chacruna is like a some sort of metabolization inhibitor so that DMT doesn't burn up in 15 minutes. And so it stretches out for, you know, 5 or 6 hours. And so, you know, ayahuasca is just one part of it. They just call it ayahuasca because that's the, you know, the main medicine. And there's kind of a spirit within it. You know, the people that are, you know, what they call an ayahuasquero and are a shaman, they understand the energy behind things, that there's a spirit behind things. And so, you know, they consider it the spirit of ayahuasca. But yeah, they mix it with this inhibitor and you drink it and... I don't know, you know, some people like to use the metaphor, it sends you to a place. And, you know, I think it is more like communing with a spirit. It's more of a, I guess if you look at the concept of, you know, life doesn't come at you, life comes from you. Mm-hmm. It's basically inviting this spirit into you. Okay. And said, you know, live with me for a while, live out of me for a while. Let's live together for a moment. Okay. And so then you start kind of experiencing and feeling and seeing the world and especially yourself. You know, it really seems to bypass ego and, you know, all the structures we have and even our memories, current memories and survival mechanisms for how we get along in society. It seems to just really go right around that.
Interesting.
And straight at your heart. And so, you know, people will think they're going to come and learn something about themselves and they might even have an intention and they will learn that thing about themselves. But I'd say almost every time they're surprised at how they learned it.
Yeah.
The path to learning and like what actual thoughts, feelings, and realizations and memories that actually got you there are totally surprising.
I can imagine that it takes a bit of courage because you take the substance. It's like a tea, right?
Yeah.
And you're giving up control in some way of where your mind is going to go. Is that scary?
You know, I think the first times it was, but you know, I've actually been lucky to find people I really trust in this kind of work. I've had some shakier experiences and been a lot more vulnerable and exposed, even more than I even realized at the time, with people that weren't doing medicine, that weren't, you know, ingesting compounds, people that were just working with your mind and spirit and, you know, meditation or astral journeying and that kind of thing. You know, people whose egos are really involved and, you know, maybe your well-being is pretty far down the list of priorities for what they're after. However, when it's come to this medicine work, I've been really lucky with people that are very trustworthy. And even when you're on the medicine, like I said, that's something that even comes out, is that you, this certainty of trust and this feeling of being taken care of.
Okay.
This genuineness is revealed. And I know that's not the case. There's a lot of people you hear who don't have that experience.
Right. Well, I've did a little crash course on the internet in the last couple of days trying to catch up to speed on ayahuasca. And I came across this description, which I think is pretty revealing. It's like staring into a mirror that can be brutally honest and revealing of yourself, and it's also ego dissolving. Does that sound fairly accurate?
Yeah. Like, I guess that was, you know, sort of what I was saying, where it can like bypass, mm-hmm. because I feel like your ego is still there, but it's like it's like a part of yourself you can almost like section off, and take a look at. And you know, the one time that I can remember where I did have a problem with that sort of thing. And I ended up finding out it was for like a very synchronistic and you know, it was a very spiritual move, is I could not stop obsessing about my dad's family, you know, especially about one of his sisters. Well, and then I come to find out a few months down the line that her and her husband were having tremendous amounts of problems, oh, and boy. That she had had a medical issue that had also affected her mental health, which affected their social or not, so, you know, like family dynamics.
And you really, on the surface, were not aware of it. I
had no idea what was going on with that. Didn't find out about all this till after the fact, when you're like, oh, that energy was really trying to reach out to me, but I was really confused. I was new to it. I didn't know how to tap into it. All I did is I went to, you know, like this person doesn't like to be called a shaman, but they are. I mean, I've worked with shamans, people who actually are shamans, like in Peru. And this person, even though they're an American and even though they have a background that didn't start with this, that's what they are. That's what they do. I think they're very cautious about being worshipped or getting out of line with people or even getting accused of cultural appropriation. But I mean, like, for intents and purposes, this is a shaman. And so I just went up and been like, I can't get my mind out of this rut. I'm like, I'm doing everything I can. I'm asking everything I can to get out of this, and I can't. And it's amazing how they can, yeah. They work with feathers. They work with sometimes stones and crystals, but mostly are the biggest ally is tobacco. So when I've gone to Peru, it's what they actually call like a tobacco diet. And you smoke what they call mapachos, their spiritual tobacco. And that's a part of it. That's as much or even a bigger part of it than the ayahuasca itself, is that you're smoking these tobaccos all day and really using it as an ally. And, you know, I used to be a cigarette smoker, so I was very nervous about this going down there.
Like, what do you mean by ally?
Like the spirit of it that you can work with, that you can call on.
Okay.
And, you know, with like Native Americans, you maybe seen this depicted a lot with like, animals and stuff. Like one of my allies is spider. And so I've come to learn a lot about spider and how, I believe it was the Sioux, but you know, some North American, Native American tribe would paint, spider webs on their, on themselves to like make themselves invisible or to make arrows go through them. And, But also, just a side note, how many, you know, there's, I always find this really interesting looking at ancient history. This kind of has made me drawn to the shamanism thing. And I always think it's really interesting how all these different points on the globe came to these same understandings at the same time. And, you know, and so there's, I've heard schools of thought where they're like, well, of course they were, because they were all reincarnating within each other's cultures. But then you've heard other people say, oh no, they were tapping into some sort of fourth dimensional thing in the meditation. But like how the planet just started row crop farming kind of at the same time.
Really?
Or,
yeah.
But anyway, on every continent, they've all understood the spider to be grandmother.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's a cross cultural, and it's like, you know, been that way since way before we were sailing boats and stuff.
Fascinating.
So I always find that fascinating. And I mean, I, you know, tend to believe in that sort of thing because I've seen it, you know, yeah. Sometimes on the medicine. Sometimes the medicine's a little tougher.
Well, why don't we describe what a ceremony is like? And a shaman is sort of somebody who assists you in bridging the gap between this world and a spirit world.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you go to South America with a bunch of Americanos, I imagine, and you sign up, and what happens? You get off a plane, and what happens after that?
Okay. So, you know, I've always gone down there just for this purpose. Other people have gone and done, like, some touring and stuff and, you know, seen Machu Picchu. But you fly to the jungle, you know, and it's a very rural, small airport. And then you get into, you know, one of the taxis I rode had, you know, no, you could see through the floor. This last time I was there, since COVID restrictions have been lifted, we did a boat taxi. And so we taxi up the river. And, yeah, you get to the property and you know, it's made very clear that...
Is it pretty remote? Are you out?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's the Amazon. It's okay. The Western Amazon. And, you know, you get the kind of talk. And, you know, by the time you're in a travel program, you know, you're not just like showing up to one of their ceremonies, you know, in the United States or whatever, where, you know, by the time you're putting this kind of money towards that and buying plane tickets, there's a certain kind of buy-in, or at least they know you have a tolerance to at least being talked to in a certain way, like being talked about, like energy and that kind of thing. And, you know, one of the first things they warn you about is, you know, there's sorcerers around. There's people who have negative intents and they're very jealous of this family. They're making money, you know, they make some money off us. Like I said, it's interesting how they don't have much there, but you know, they do have a property. They have a pretty good piece of land that we do all this on. And so lots of talk about that more than like the fear mongering you usually get with traveling, like, oh, wear your wallet around your waist and, you know, all these things like be aware of pickpockets. This is more like, you know, be aware that there's a lot of energy going on around here, including with the plants and animals.
Good and bad.
Yeah. And not necessarily even like human centered. And you can feel it when you're down there. If you're in tune with these sorts of things, it's like a very powerful place. And just, you know, when we think about like our most complex like technologies and system, you know, cybernetic or whatever, it still doesn't hold a candle to how complex the Amazon rainforest is. So when you're in this like actual like environment, you can feel this complexity and this and, you know, what could be seen as magic. You know, I guess that is that saying that any technology that we don't understand yet is going to be seen as magic. And so, okay, you know, the way we've been treating our planet, I think, is pretty clear. We don't understand it very well.
Yeah.
And so, but it's like, it is so complex that you can understand this magic.
Okay. All right. So you, day one, you go into some kind of a room with all a bunch of people. What takes place?
Yeah, I mean, there's logistics. So, like, you know, since I've been down there, they've always had really well-working Wi-Fi. Actually, the last time I was down there, I FaceTimed with my children. And so that was...
I didn't need to hear that.
But that was not typically the case. Okay. So this is a new thing that,
sure,
that these technologies are getting...
reality, sure.
You know, proficient enough that they can even way out there stay connected. But, you know, you get the breakdown of, like, you know, how we're all going to get along together and how the, you know, waterworks, you know, and cleaning yourself up where you're sleeping and, you know, the logistics. But again, it's, you know, like just to give you an anecdotal story, I didn't go because I had spent my money on something else. I only got like a certain amount of money out of the ATM, but some people went to the market and one of the leaders came and they said, hey, you need to blow mapacho. You need to blow this tobacco smoke over everything you've bought before you pack it away. So apparently one of these things that she had bought, she felt a presence come into the property at night and started just looking around. And so she used her ally of some sort of big cat. I can't remember what her ally is. Some sort of big cat to kind of neutralize and chase him out. And, you know, and so again, I've always felt really well protected because I feel like these people know their business, you know, and they want what's best.
So I think one of the things I'm curious about is, at some point the ayahuasca comes out.
Yeah. And so ayahuasca loves darkness. And so when you're saying you learn things, that's one of the things I've learned now after doing this for a while is, the last ceremony I did in the United States, I finally could see how they use darkness as a tool and an ally because ayahuasca likes it. And it was such a strong ceremony and I had to use the restroom and, you know, so I had to go near some like candles that were lit. And so my vision was broken up a little bit, but when I like peered into the yurt, it was dark beyond just what, you know, a room with no light would be. It was like walking into ink, but not in like a, but in a, like a supportive way, you know what I'm saying?
So
these ceremonies are full of music. That's the other thing. Like you'd be surprised how many times I've done this and how long I've been doing this before I finally started to sing myself and then finally prove to myself that it really likes singing. And
all called Icaros?
You know, people that know them can sing them. Okay. Actually, so the first couple of times I've sang the Velvet Underground. Okay. You know, I sang songs I just knew.
So Icaros is a traditional song.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That would be, you know, the Shipibo Indians that we work with. Okay. And that's what I was just going to get to. The first time I went down there with like a smaller group and different leadership. And, you know, they were, it felt, it seemed like there was a lot more of us that were new and then people that were very experienced. People who'd been doing this for like 25 years. Whereas this last time it was a full roster, different leadership, people of all different kinds of experience levels. And there was more help as well, especially with the younger, you know, people that are training in these arts, you know, that are training with the shaman. And they demanded that you sing. And so only like a couple people who must have been like cripplingly shy didn't actually sing. But yeah, they, and if you can sing an Icaro, they really cheer you on and they really give you good feedback. And, but yeah, when I didn't know any better, I sang, you know, the Velvet Underground. I sang just a song that was beautiful to
Sweet
me that
Jane.
I felt like, yeah. I actually sang I'll Be Your Mirror, interestingly okay. enough. You All know, right. you talk about it holding you up as a mirror.
Sure.
But, you know, I guess in my, you know, one thing I get to, so at the end of a ceremony, what I think is the most powerful part, actually, you know, people are really attracted to this idea of like altering your consciousness with this medicine or whatever, or getting these breakthrough moments. I feel like the biggest, at least getting your heart cracked open, is in the morning. We always do in what they call an integration, where everyone gets to share their experience or their learnings. And it's just amazing how much you learn about even your own experience, hearing other people talk about it. And that's kind of my favorite part of ceremony. I mean, I started doing this stuff with like self-healing. And so when I first did one of these programs where I was like, okay, I'm going to travel, I'm going to work with other people, I'm really going to learn about these earth-based practices. I was like mortified when they were like, we're all going to do mushrooms in the middle of the day and do a walkabout. We're all going to walk in a big like pod.
Yeah.
And I was just like, no way. I've never understood that when like some of these people talk about like, especially mushrooms, you know, psilocybin mushrooms, going to a concert or dancing or whatever. It's like, how? I can't even imagine that. They they're so overwhelming to me, and I have such a reverence for them too that I just can't even imagine that. It just doesn't, that's just my personality, I think. You know, there's other people who, you know, how the medicine interacts with you is part of the medicine. It's not just like a one size fits all thing. You know, it's just like, we know different kinds of drunks. We know people who can drink three beers and, you know, become something totally unlike themselves. Sure. And then we know some people who, you know, can, it's the same way with any of these chemicals, you know, we're all okay. Communing in different ways. So,
well, let me remind the listeners out there, you're listening to Right Stuff. This is Jim Dowling, and my guest today is Kent Bodensteiner, and we're talking about his experiences with ayahuasca and heading down to South America and going through the ceremonies. And so I understand it can be a 3 or 4 day or even longer ceremony, and it's, from what I've read, you take this substance, this concoction of plant-based kind of a tea for 3 or 4 days, and the experience just gets more intense with each day that passes.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, for sure. My first few experiences, I just went down for like a one-off. You know, I had a friend that kind of hooked me up, and I went down and tried it and had these difficult experiences. The one I mentioned about like being obsessed with my dad's family, like didn't feel like I saw anything beautiful. It was all just stressful. It was not until I started doing it in these multiple day retreats that I really started to get somewhere. And I didn't start doing Peru until I had done a training program where I learned about earth-based practices and started to get a foundation of education and also trust in the leadership. You know, I was working with them here in the United States before I was like, oh, I'll just get on a plane and fly to where you tell me, you know, in the middle of Peru. But in Peru, it's as much about the ayahuasca as it is about, you diet with other plants too. So during the days, there's other plants that you're ingesting. And it always starts with tobacco, and tobacco is the foundation of all of them. No matter what plant you're dieting with,
is that a purifying agent kind of thing?
It can be. The first one, you know, I did just tobacco, where you drink it and you smoke mapachos all day. But everybody smokes mapachos all day. So the spiritual tobacco, you know, not only in this like kind of metaphysical energetic, I've come to learn that like tobacco is like one of the main agents and still today in like pesticides. Like, you know, tobacco is a cleaner. And when you talk to indigenous people, especially in this hemisphere, you know, from up north here to down south, they all say that that's the most powerful one, that tobacco is that's the most powerful.
Oh, really?
Medicine and ally. And that's the tool that's the real, you know, powerhouse. So you're doing a lot of that, and that's become a big part of my practice even now, even here in the United States. But you know, it is a psychedelic compound. And so, you know, just rewinding it to just the basics of psychedelics that we've heard since, you know, they started introducing them. I mean, I'm sure they were around before that, but when they really gained popularity in our culture, and you hear people like Timothy Leary and Ram Dass, and they talk about like set and setting. And I will say that that's important. Even though I've had these powerful experiences and these wonderful happenings in my life where I've gotten to work with these people and go to Peru, I'd still say the most powerful was when I was here in the American Southwest, because I really needed it. It came at a time that was when I had just starting to let go of some negative things that had happened in my life, not the least of which was the pandemic and all the stuff that was going on here. And I just really needed it, and the medicine really took to me really well. And it was a hard first night. But then the second night, it was gentle, and it kind of, I really started to understand how the ceremony works, and I could see what the ceremonialists were doing, and I started to understand the music. And that was a 4 day retreat. And the third day was, they just asked you for 24 hours of silence. They asked you not to even make eye contact with people. You know, don't worry about not being a jerk. Don't say hi to people. You don't have to go camping out on the land, but you can. You can just stay in your trailer or whatever. And, but then there's that fourth night, you do a third round of ayahuasca. And that's where I've had these, like if you get on YouTube or whatever and you hear these people talk about these grandiose experiences and these, you know, where I did like feel like I was out in the middle of the universe, and I did feel like I had come dislodged of time and not only did I feel that, but not feeling nervous about it, not feeling like this was a threat, but feeling blessed and feeling like everything was taken care of. And, you know, again, it was a time where I really needed it in my personal life. And it was a time where we were all kind of suffering, where there was lots of stress in our culture, and just this feeling that everything was okay.
Okay.
And I had this boldness and this confidence, and I was existing in it, and it, yeah. it was very healing. So.
Yeah. So it sounds to me like you got a new perspective on the world around you and yourself at the same
yeah.
time.
I mean, that's what I'm after. You know, it's about knowing yourself. Yeah. You know,
do you feel that you've come away a changed and better person?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm still working on it too. There's things that, you know, you hear about people who have these life-changing experiences where, you know, they show up one day and then they're not the same person the next day. You know, mine's been a little bit more progressive than that. But for sure an improvement in just living with myself, you know, even existing with my own personality, my own self, I would say, but just in the feedback and the way I am with my children and other friends and, you know, and even people that are leaving your life and how I've been able to do that with grace, you know, like people who just don't have a place in your life anymore and how to be this new person, in, like I said, with grace and not like making it a dramatic thing or hurting feelings. But it's been interesting how there's a few people I've, without really saying a whole lot of words, the vibe's not the same, and how you can kind of almost get this stuff to just sort of leave your life just by being this new person, just by existing okay. in this new space. These things that are no longer serving you just yeah. sort of go away.
Well, you seem like a very relaxed, easygoing guy. I don't know you from your past, but in a nutshell, how do you think, what's the difference between you back then, before you ever tried any of this, before you ever experienced any of this, and the Kent today?
I've, especially in the last few years, done a lot of work about not taking things personally, learning how, catching other people's projections and taking things personally makes you really miserable.
Yeah, it's a loaded question.
Yeah, it is. It's a hard. Yeah,
there is no nutshell involved. It's pretty complex, but yeah, you came to this interest for a reason.
Yeah, yeah. There was definitely some healing that needed to happen, yeah. And I was kind of doing some renegade operations, and I'm really glad I found some good people. I feel really well taken care of, and there are a lot of good people out there, and there are some, you know, dangers too. Like I said, I haven't found that in the medicine community necessarily. That's been more in the spiritual community. That's more like ego driven, but even just being with these good people, I feel like my defenses to that kind of thing are much better now.
Good. Well, you, with the time we have left, do you have any big adventures, on the horizon?
I'm really excited about it. So, you know, this Peru stuff is about knowing the plants and working with the shamans that work with the plants and understand the spirit of the plants. And that's part of, you know, what this shaman in Mexico understands as well. But I've been really attracted to, you know, Toltec philosophy. That's kind of been a part of any group I've been in, whether we're doing medicine or just meditation. It's like, that's always the backdrop. It seems like all the power I've been attracted to always seems to boil back down to the Toltecs.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. And I had just, I had the experience to do peyote for the first time, very recently. And that was really interesting. It was not at all how I expected it to be, but, I don't consider myself a very religious person, but the quality of the prayer was so beautiful and wonderful. And I get to go to Mexico and I get to work with people, that are tied to those things, which feel new to me, but also like they've been the foundation the whole time. Like, I feel like I've kind of taken a big loop to get back to the base. And so I'm I'm hoping that's what it, I guess, I guess I'm okay with however it shows up.
Good, good. Well, have fun down there. I'm afraid we've just hit the wall as far as time is concerned. Maybe we'll do this again.
Okay.
This is really interesting. You're listening to KKRN 88.5 FM out of Buena Vista. And this is Jim Dowling, host of Right Stuff, with my guest today, Kent Bodensteiner. Bodensteiner, I'll get it right one of these days. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And happy trails.
Thank you.
All right.